Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Well, Coach, as of the airing of this show, it will be officially summer vacation.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The kids out for the summer.
It's out.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, man. And we look back and see the awards that our students received.
Man.
Scholar as well as athletes did pretty good.
Yeah. And that's right. And it's when the summer come around, it's open house season. And I'm trying to figure out who can get the open house award for the best food. I ain't gonna tell nobody. The best food.
Open house award. I had never heard of that one, man. Okay.
Who's getting the open house award this summer? I'd have been to what? Because I just buy a whole bunch of gift cards and give them out. So I'd have been I done been to 10 open houses already.
Woo!
So I got about it. Because I think all our seniors is like 6 of those girls. And then my students graduating. So I try to do 50 at $10 rate a pop. So that's $500 that I try to give away.
Yeah, you know, that's gift cards, man.
So 50 kids get $10. And I'm like, he only gave me 10. Like, I went to 50 open houses.
Okay, come on now.
Come on, yeah, work with me, kids. And my wife said, why you be going? I say, because it's good to see the kids go on to the next chapter.
Yeah, and you got a relationship with them, so that makes a difference too, man.
It's good.
When you've helped them get to the point that they're at, that you make that showing, because, I mean, when I graduated, there was no such thing as open house.
Yeah, and I was sharing something with you. I was with Emily Ward. She works at Mona. She's working at Mona Shore. She played at Mona Shore. She works at Timberland Academy. And we were at one of our players' open houses. And we were looking at the book they had with all their stats in it and everything.
Right.
I said, remember when we was in high school, if we got our picture in the paper, we was like, you thought you was big time. Right. Now these kids getting the paper all the time for being on the bench and everything.
Social media.
And they front page. And then our stats was in a box score on the newspapers.
Like, yeah, it wasn't individual stats for the most part.
The school played this person. And they said, they'll name the person with the highest points. And then they'll have the box scores. And you're like, at least you got your name in the paper. I'll file somebody.
Yeah, you got to get a file to get in the box.
You got a foul or a penalty or you got a free throw attempt. Your name got in the paper somehow. So it's and you had to go get the paper.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, you had to go buy paper in order to see it. So.
Yep. So like you said, it's summertime coming up and it's good. We on summer vacation. The kids out of school. Teachers clean the classrooms up. So.
Yeah. So those are moving on and others are moving on to, higher education.
That's right.
Higher learning, man.
Team camps, but team camps are in effect too for all sports. Yeah,
know it.
That's some good stuff to watch. If you can catch a team camp scrimmage for football or basketball, that's the best. I think that's the best time to watch the teams.
Okay,
those team camps because the coaches let the kids play pretty good and let them freelance and you can see who the good players are.
Yeah, you got to kind of step back.
Yeah,
I know. Last week, football team was up in Western for a football
passing camp or something, right?
Yeah, so they're off and running. I think there's two this week, Michigan State, and then they go to Central Toledo. So it's summer's in full effect along with the AAU basketball. They did name an interim since we're on school interim superintendent.
That's right.
Derek, looks like it's Well Dryer.
Yes.
From Caledonia.
Caledonia, and he served at Jenison also. Yep.
Yeah, so not quite really West Michigan, but hopefully he gets, the flavor for where he's at now. Okay, because it's definitely a different environment than Caledonia
and Jenison. That's right.
Okay.
Different demographics and economics.
Absolutely. Total.
So I hope he sees that and let's see what's going forward. And then when you talk about interim, you're talking about somebody being in place to get some foundation laid down to go in a new direction. That's what it really means.
Right. Temporary.
Temporary.
So we have no, idea as who the permanent superintendent is going to be because there's this search.
Yeah.
And that always frightens me when I hear that word. I've always been of the
belief. Where's Waldo? That's what it sounds like to me.
Where's Waldo? Right.
Yeah.
You know, as a group, you're supposed to put together a list
of candidates.
Of candidates.
That you want to call.
Yes, you want to call, right?
We want these people have the ideal, the ideology,
yeah,
and the concept on where we want to see our kids in the next 5, 5-10 years.
Right.
That's a tenure of a superintendent, right? 5-10 years.
You would hope so, at least minimum of five.
So you got to, who has that paradigm, that mindset, that concept to see us in the future, 5-10 years from now, where the businesses blend in with our school district and the downtown becomes part of our school district? Because right now, we're detached from downtown. I'm just going to say it on air. We're detached.
Absolutely.
Muskegon Public Schools is detached from downtown, and it shouldn't be like that.
And it need to be fixed. Yep. For the simple reason that when we're looking at the growth of our area, when people come to this area that have young children, you know, they always, one of the first questions is, you know, what is the school district like?
Yep.
And we want them to say that Muskegon is probably or the best school district in West Michigan that you can send your child to. That is a selling point.
That's a selling point.
When people are talking about relocating and coming to West Michigan.
Because I know the tech field is starting to expand in West Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So the tech field is starting to expand. So people are coming to this area in this tech field. And they're like, hey, what school can my kids go to?
Right.
I like hanging out downtown. I like the lakeshore.
I want to be close to my job. I don't want to have to, you know, take that long commute.
The 31 is good. Good transit to get you back and forth. So it's like... Yep. Our school should be a viable source in the plan of the Watch Muskegon Go.
Thank you very much.
Initiative and campaign.
Integral part of it, man.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's hope whoever these folks are that they bring in are absolutely connected to our area and totally get it and understand that we're dealing with a different dynamic than you would in a suburban school district. This is an urban school district. We don't want what we see happening in a Benton Harbor, right?
Man, we don't want that to happen at all.
Let's keep it real. We're not there. We don't want to be there, and we don't have to go there.
It's almost to the point, like, I'm not taking no shots at anybody, but when you, and it's, like you said, 103.7 doesn't support anybody's views or political things. But I'm looking at Whitmore right now, like, it seems like she took the African-American vote, and she's using it against them right now. That's what it looked like. I'm just going to say that. I don't know who you come after me, whoever you are, whoever want to say something to me in public, that's what it looked like because I seen my buddy Muhammad, that's the mayor of Benton Harbor, working to help her receive votes in that district. He pushed hard for her. Then she comes back to shut his school down.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I don't know. I mean, they're fighting back. They're pushing back. But ultimately, when it boils down to these dollars and cents, that's kind of the platform that they're using.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to argue with the dollars and cents.
But when you, like, it's a financial show. When you talk about dollars and cents, again, we talk about the same issue in our city, right, Tony?
Yep.
Where the downtown is building up, but the school is being detached from the downtown. So then when you look at Benton Harbor, they having world-renowned golf outings.
Yeah.
In their backyard.
Yeah, Whirlpool is one of the major employers in that area, Whirlpool. Yep.
So they have a golf tournament every year.
They have a golf tournament.
And what Muhammad said, the mayor of Benton Harbor, was like, look, if y'all don't do something with these schools, I'm shutting the golf tournament down.
Oh, boy. You're going to get a lot of people upset with that
one. Yeah, so something's going to change.
Let's see if they can't get their heads together, man.
See
if
they can't
come up with a plan
to help that brother out in
his
community.
Save their school district.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I see it, like you said, it's usually a ripple effect when you look at school districts that are predominantly African American or Latino.
Yep.
Just speaking, where you got the Flints, you got the Ben Harbors, Ypsilanti's,
and you know, Grand
Inksters.
Rapids. Let's talk about Grand Rapids. Yeah. Okay.
Grand Public School. How many high schools is it?
Okay.
Three?
Two that I know of.
Two. Ottawa Hills and Union.
And Union.
It used to be
where 5 to 6 at least. Okay. So they've had the effect of this urban phenomenon when it comes to what the school system looks like today versus what it looked like 20 years ago.
Where the urban sprawl turned to a suburban plantation.
Right. But now we get that reverse migration, right? Just
that's
like
right.
In Grand Rapids. They're building, you know, houses and what have you. And people are starting to come back into the city of Grand Rapids.
But they can't afford it. People that was living downtown first can't afford those condos and those apartments.
Okay.
That stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of them are sitting empty right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, some of them are sitting empty.
Can't afford them.
Can't get buyers, some of them. Like $250,000 properties, $300,000 condos, 2 bedrooms.
It's a lot of money, man.
So it's going to be a big shift coming in. So
yeah.
What kind of job do it take for me to get a $349,000 condo downtown Grand Rapids.
A real good job. Yeah. So like, or two.
Not no living wage. It's going to have to be a salary. So,
or
so,
two.
So you got to change the whole paradigm of people that's down there. But, you know, that's one issue, you know, looking at schools. But then almost in the Detroit Free Press, we had news with a local person from here that worked here before, Ohan.
Ohan, yeah, I did see that.
Yes.
Yeah, up in the UP.
Up in the UP.
Okay.
1%.
1% of the population looked like him.
Looked like him.
Okay.
Yep. And he serviced, he was the principal of a school that had 6th through 12th grade. Yes. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was the only African-American administrator in the whole district.
Right.
And he had a staff of, what, 13 teachers?
I think it was 19.
19? Total 19. Yep. 19 teachers. Yeah. And they said all the accolades of all the good things that were going on since he's been at the school. So, like, okay, that's what you want. You want good change, positive energy.
Enrollment was up. Test scores were up. Community involvement was being engaged. He had a date where a Monday, he gave a name for it, where the mothers would come in and they could walk the halls, sit in the classrooms. Fridays was like Father Fridays. They'd come in and they could walk the hallways. They could sit in the classrooms. He had an opportunity for them to come in and like the lounge area and sit down and talk about some of the things that they seen. And, you know, just was really, really engaging to community.
Wow, that's his major. And his major was social studies. So he's really pulling and involving and engaging.
Yeah, and according to the article, the parents raved about what they seen.
The new culture that he created.
Right.
That's what it is, I call it.
The shift of paradigm.
That's right.
And unfortunately, there's still some pushback. Mainly from the staff.
Wow.
Because he changed things.
He changed the way they used to do things.
You know, you must have a weekly lesson plan that's got to be submitted to me. And it's like that was one of the things that they didn't particularly care for.
Oh, we've done that in our school.
Held accountable.
Our administrator always wanted to see our lesson plans because.
What's wrong with that, man?
Yeah, because you got tests and stuff to try to achieve.
Right. Show me how we're going to get to the end result. Yep. We got to have a plan.
Yeah. And it goes there. And like, you know, you're a business owner yourself, and then you function under a corporate umbrella with farmers. So they got a mission, a vision, and a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't know that, what are you doing owning the farmers then?
Man, look here. That is just a fundamental, essential exercise.
Yes.
That you must do, even if in your household.
Yep.
Okay.
What's the routine that we're going to go through? And yeah. I got to accomplish an objective by the end of the week that I expect these kids to perform at least 80%. 80% of them going to pass this test,
right,
or this quiz,
how
or this formative assessment. How
are
we going to get there?
Yep.
And then, well, I don't got to come and I spy you every day. Just send me your lesson plan.
That's it.
And then, so if a parent say something about how you teaching, I can advocate for you.
Right.
I can't just be like, I don't know what he's doing in his room.
Not the right answer.
They nope. Can't help you then.
Nope.
The principal can't help you.
No, you because can't offer feedback to them.
That's right. Because I done had that in my own experience because I'm not your conventional teacher. I do things that fit the community.
Okay.
So I'll do a lesson and I'll share it with my principal and then I'll get to the point where I'm doing it 1, 2, 3 years in a row and she start getting the expectation of it, of what I was doing. Oh, they're going to read this book. The kid's going to do vision boards. They're going to do essays. He's going to bring people in. He might buy pizza. You know, bring the community. So then when they get to the point, the principal can actually go over the objectives and everything. Oh, he doing that in his room.
Mm-hmm.
He does that in his room every year. I know it. Around this time, that's what he does. His lesson plan say it. So then now if a parent comes and try to come after you as an educator, like the principal like, no, I support this. Kids love these lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Over several years, he's been doing this. So that's why he trying to do that.
Right.
As an administrator.
Right.
And a lot of times people say, they think I got you. It's not. It's like, I want to support you, but can I see what you're writing?
Called a level of accountability, man.
That's it. Sometimes
that's it. You can't show up for work and not have some kind of a plan, man. Well, we're just going to sit around today and let everybody play. No.
And then when you look at, I look at education when we have principles like that. That's an opportunity for you to take your lessons and turn it into a book. Okay. And be an author or something. It's actual lessons you could do and say, oh, somebody else can use this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I learned this today at school. But then you was teaching the lesson. Like, I can put this out to someone else. They can use that.
Because it's effective and it works.
Don't look at yourself as an employee. Look at yourself as like, one day this going to be bigger than what it is.
Right.
Yeah. So you won't be thinking like, oh, lesson plan. Be like, no, I'm a creator. I'm a co-creator and I'm not competing. So, yeah, that's our buddy Ohan. Kudos to him. He's going to do bigger and better things after this. I already know that. And we just shedding light on him and just saying he deserves a pat on the back and two hand snaps or whatever.
Well, however they do it, right. Yeah. You mean just to go up across that bridge, man, for a child? And it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude.
And the sacrifice he did, because I saw the salary. I'm like, oh, no.
Okay, yeah. Wasn't a boatload of money now.
It wasn't about the money. I can tell you that.
No, it wasn't about the money.
So he really promoted some change in the area where people that have, of his you, skin you, was not even in their community.
Right.
And so he's gave them a different perception of people.
Yes. And already. That's great. Yep. That's great, man. So we wish the brother the best, however it works out.
Yes, sir.
And again, like you say, we take our hat off to him and give him some high fives.
Yep. I know it's a final show, but we got to hit the big money, and that's the playoffs, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, man. It's been quite interesting, to say the least.
The 37 million in Canada rooting for Toronto. And you got your Golden State Warriors out of Cali,
who just refused to die.
Yeah, I just thought the Golden Gate Bridge was gonna be under construction when KD went down. I wasn't rooting for him to go down. I didn't want him to play because I know how hard it is to get where he's achieved that level at, and how he came out of poverty to get there. And I don't want him to be like the legend that say what he could have been.
No, man,
because his career is immaculate right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he has won MVPs. He got titles.
Playoff MVPs, scoring champ.
Yeah. So
records at the record.
That was, you know, that's a tough call to come back. And as an athlete, I've seen those injuries, man, and it just, those can be career ending.
Yes, they can.
Okay. Could be career ending. So hopefully it'll all work out for him. He's in an option year, and that's always been the talk about. Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? So this year changes that whole landscape as far as what his decision looks like.
Yeah.
So,
and I put his decision on the table. So it's like if he decides to stay for 1 year and rehab his leg the whole year, he can get $30 million.
He need to.
And go on state. He can go into a new stadium, new training facilities.
Right.
New medicine, whatever they're going to be doing, new training table, $30 million, and just lay back and do nothing for a whole year. Or,
possibly make the
playoffs and still be on the bench at the playoff run, chilling. Or
Might be ready.
Or go to an organization where they say they're going to build around you and possibly not make the playoffs, be surrounded around losing culture and not be able to fend for yourself because you got a cast on your leg. So then your legend would be somewhere else celebrating and new stadium and everything.
Right.
And you would be with a cast on, and we just name the place, New York. You might be in New York.
Brooklyn, New York, whatever.
With a terrible owner, and you like, man, I can't really fend for myself right now. And then with the terrible media out there, how you going to be on the paper
tough.
Every day?
They tough. Yes, sir.
So look at the money decision right there that they got to make.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man.
Yep. So. Yep. But I still root for Toronto, Tony.
Okay, underdog, man. Everybody likes the underdog, man. And NBA, also is rooting for them too, by the way, because they like that international flavor. They want an NBA championship outside of the States, which is going to increase revenue that's coming out of Canada to support basketball, which is great. One more item before we move on to our show. Didi got cut.
That's right. Yeah, he did. And they beat the deadline before July, didn't they? July.
Yeah, so they don't have to pay him. Not good, man. I don't know all the particulars, but this early in, you know, summer league or what have you.
Before they set the roster.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I'm just saying there's something that happened where they didn't say, okay, you know, you need to go to the summer league. Work on your craft, get it together, and to cut him now.
Well, he can't land nowhere.
It's a bad look.
He can't land on nobody's team.
Bad look, so. Again, hopefully at some point in time we'll know what happened. But, he's out of the league at this time. So, I don't know if overseas is an option or not. But anyway, Coach, we all got our crosses to bear, right?
Yeah, we do. We all got to carry our own. That's a rough call.
Yes, it is. Hate to see that happen.
Your summer break coming, you think you're about to be hooping on a summer league squad? Or?
Right, well, that's what I kind of looked at was, you know, they would probably put him in a summer league to continue to improve his game and then make a final decision later in the year as far as how they wanted to put him on the roster or leave him in the G League. So, but that's not going to happen.
That is what we currently have is we have 10 strategies for IRA withdrawals.
Okay, that's your individual retirement account.
That's right. So I'm bringing this up because I was talking. Two guys was talking yesterday at the Lakeshore workout facility, and he was like, "Yeah, I just turned 71." He said, "Yeah, I'm 73." I'm like,
"Okay."
So then he talking. I'm just listening to the conversation. He said, "Yeah." They say you're not old till you reach 80.
Okay, I like that.
I was like, he said, yeah, that's when you get elderly. So you be things for hard for you to do because they play racquetball every day. I see them all the time. They working out, they running, and they start talking about their money, their withdrawals.
Okay.
So I was like, this not won't be a bad show because understanding that element of what that is and just breaking it down. I was like, well, I got Tony here to really understand these 10 ways of breaking down how to withdraw from your IRA to possibly avoid penalties or to minimize your tax bite.
Right.
All right.
Gotcha.
So here's number one, Tony. It says, calculate the amount of your withdrawals. Your RMDs are based on the balance in your accounts as of December 31st of the previous year, divided by a life expectancy factor based on your age. Most people use a uniform life table. Now, could you put that somehow in common man terms, like RMD?
Okay. It means that... based on how much money you got.
Okay.
What the life expectancy is, that's the table that they talk about, will determine if you want to do systematic withdrawals, because what that does is then if it's a traditional IRA, then we know there's a taxable event.
Okay.
Okay.
But all that time before you, when you putting in, you got tax-free money.
Tax-free money.
Okay.
It's growing tax-free.
Now you're getting ready to take some money out now.
Right. Right, and the RMD is, you know, that's a mandatory distribution, a required
you
mandatory
gotta take
distribution at age 70.
You got to touch it.
And at age 70, you have to start taking distributions, okay? Up to that age, you don't have to. You can still just be putting in. But as of 70, the IRS says you now must start doing basically systematic withdrawals. So, again, it depends on the amount of money, and you want to determine what that tax what your tax event is going to be. So if you say, I'm going to get 10 grand a month.
Okay.
And you know that you're in a 15% tax bracket, then you know automatically every month, 15% of that money, you need to either have taken out and given to the government, or you can take it, set it aside in another CD or whatever you want to put it at, because at the end of the year, when you get your tax statement on your distribution, it's going to have on there what you owe in taxes, okay? The only difference in that is if it's a Roth IRA. You still have to take the required mandatory distribution, but it is not a taxable event. So the $10,000 that you took every month, you pay no taxes on it. That's the Roth.
All
right. Traditional IRA, you pay taxes.
Okay, so listen to this. It says time is right, number two. Usually you have to take your annual RMD, like you said, right? But you have until April 1st of the tax return year before you turn 70 and a half, right?
Okay.
But it says to take your first required one, right? But it says, however, delaying that first withdrawal means you'll have to take two of them in 1 year.
Okay.
So it says, which could affect the ripple effect on other areas of your finances. So then they talk about like your Social Security being affected.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's being, then your Medicaid, because they changed the way they do their Medicaid, their surcharge with their income.
Based on your income.
So you got to take the money in a timely fashion.
You got to take it in a timely fashion. Calculate it. It's got to be a calculated event once you get to that point. And like you say, especially if you've done a really good job of funding your IRA, and you got $1 million, $1.5 million, and you start taking those mandatory distributions, you don't want it to affect, because it's still considered income.
Yes, sir.
Based on IRS, which looks at what your Social Security income is as well. So, you need to be knowledgeable of those laws because they could affect you at the time when it comes to file your taxes. So, It's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, it is. I see. I got too much money.
That's right. It's a good problem.
My Social Security messing my money up. You know?
Well, If you got too much, give me a call. I can tell you where to send some of
Man, that's a good thing. So then the third one says, pick the best accounts for RMDs. So you have to calculate the RMD from each of your traditional IRAs, not Roths, including your rollover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And any SEP, simple IRAs. But you can add the total required withdrawals from all the IRAs and take the money from any one or more IRAs. And that what they said is pick the one you least like, the one with the highest fees.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why would you pick the one with the highest fees? Why would you say, no, that's had too many fees? Let me pick the one with the less fees.
Because you want to hurry up and delete that one because you're paying the higher fees.
Oh, so you want to deplete it.
You want to deplete that one.
Okay.
Get that out of the way. Okay. And again, we don't know what performance it's having as well, but you would hope that it doesn't necessarily correlate with higher fees, higher returns. Annuities historically have had higher fees than most of your mutual fund providers.
Okay.
So if you got an annuity, chances are that's the one that you're getting hit with higher fees for. So, yeah, you would want to liquidate that one first.
Okay. Wow.
Because it ultimately hurts your return.
Yeah, so you get to the point where you're trying to liquidate and you at the end of something. You're like, oh, I got this one with these fees. I need this money. But if I'm on a high end of my money and I'm like, well, I'll take the one with the high fees right now.
Right.
Because like I got this Social Security, I got this Medicaid going. I might as well. It's going to balance my income out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. And I always say this. I've been reading material that say, always have somebody that's an expert.
Yeah.
Always have somebody assigned to your money, to your health, and to your legal. You can't do it all by yourself.
No.
And this is the reason why.
It's too many moving parts, man. Especially if you've done a good job of accumulating wealth through the years. Now, it's totally different.
Cheap. You're going to be cheap and not hire nobody to help you spend your money.
But if you don't have it.
You're right, if you don't have it.
If you haven't done a very good job and you're basically operating on a very, very small income, then these kinds of problems you probably won't.
Come into.
Yeah, they won't affect you because you're basically just trying to get by.
At 70 years old?
Yeah. Man. Well, there's a lot of people, man, that you would be surprised at are just getting by at 70 because, again, they didn't do a good job of getting ready for retirement.
Oh, man. So here's number four. It says, understand how the 401k rules are different. If you have several 401k accounts with former employees, you have to calculate and withdraw RMDs separately for each 401k. Mm-hmm. You even have to take RMDs from the Roth 401ks, although those withdrawals are not taxable. You can't take 401k accounts RMDs from your IRAs, vice versa. If you're still working at 70 and a half, you may be eligible to deduct taking your RMD from your current employer's 401k to April to the tax time. But I'm telling you something I did. When I changed jobs, I had my person that was in charge of my money. He just put them together.
Right, you consolidate them.
Yeah, I was
that's the smart thing to do.
I had a whole bunch of money in one, and I had a small amount in another one. I was like, and it was going, and he sat down and met me. He said, you got this money over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at your name, you got like two other accounts. He said, man, let me get them accounts. So he got them, and he said, they're right here. So when you retire, he said, I'll put them all together.
Right.
So I got one with this school district, but I got another one somewhere else, and he got it where it's still accumulating money.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's okay.
But it was two other ones.
You can do that.
A total of three of them. But it's two of them. But he took them two and put them one. He said, at a certain time, we're going to take this one. When you get ready, we're going to move them, and they're all going to be together.
Okay. Because you can't contribute to those anymore.
That's right.
They could continue to be used. But a lot of times, what an employer will say to you or the third-party administrator, it says, you need to come get your money for the simple reason that we don't even want it on the books. Because it cost us money to maintain
it. To manage it. So you ain't paying us a percent or half.
We're not
a
getting
point.
Any growth per se out of it because you're not contributing anymore. And we would much rather for you just to come and get it and take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That happens.
That happens too. You're right. That's good to know. So it's wow.
But it's to your best benefit to always consolidate any 401 that you have from previous employers. So you avoid that problem.
All right. So here's the last one we're going to do today. We only got through five of them. It says, choose the right investments to withdraw. Some IRA or 401k administrators automatically withdraw RMDs proportionally from each of your investments unless you specify otherwise, and they could end up selling stocks or funds at a loss to make your payment.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to prevent that from happening, you can usually elect to take a fixed percentage from each of your investments or have 100% taken from cash. If you choose the cash option, the IRA administrator may send you an alert before in case you need to sell shares to raise the cash. So that, because it's a mutual funds and stocks, right? You got stuff going.
Right.
So you got to catch the market at the right time and say, look, I'm selling these, and you're going to get a penalty too, right, for doing that?
No, not necessarily. Not at that age.
Okay.
The only time you get a penalty is when you're not 59 and a half. Mm. See, 59 and a half is when now you're eligible to start taking a distribution without penalty. So between 59 and a half and 70 and a half is that accumulation phase that, the government allow you to have without penalty when it comes to distribution. But 70 and a half, then you have to start taking mandatory distribution. Okay. And again, the article speaks to you have multiple streams of income. And because of your age, you have to take distributions based on all of them. Okay, if it's there, if you've consolidated and you have one, you know, IRA, even if you take your 401k and you roll it over into an IRA and you got just that one particular investment vehicle, that's the one that you have to really focus on as far as your distribution, because ultimately it means what tax implications I will have when I do my distribution. That's basically what it is. Bottom line, this is all about taxation when you're dealing with traditional IRAs or 401ks.
Yeah.
401ks also were instruments that used to accumulate wealth tax-free. Okay, that money came out of your check before it was taxed. So when you start taking a distribution from a 401k, that is a taxable event as well as it would be from a traditional IRA. Yeah. So they're both taxable events.
Something I've learned to acquire and think is it's good to be connected with the IRS and having to have a bill because that means you're making some money.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, in this country, okay, we have to pay taxes.
No representation without taxation.
Right.
That's it.
Unless you think you are above the law, and we do have those too, okay? And they got a place for them as well. It's called jail.
Unless you're the president. Unless you're the president of the country.
Right.
And you can look at the envelope and throw it away.
Yeah.
They subpoenaed me. No, they didn't.
Well, remember, Al Capone thought he could get away with it too.
Yeah, he did. Man, let me get this scripture today. It say, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, trust God with the least. It says, be alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So all we telling you is, watch your money. That's one way he can devour you. Because if you ain't got no money, you can't go to the doctor. You can't take care of your family. So you got to watch your money. Keep your eye on Christ.
Yeah, trust the people that you use to help you watch your money too. Because all of them are in it for your best interest.
Yeah, all night. Build good relationships with those people I said earlier. Your accountant, your investment banker, your attorney. You got to make sure them people are on the same page with you. Because they're going to help you have more of that in your account.
Right, and you know what the rich do? The rich hires people to watch their money, and then they hire somebody to watch that guy, and they hire somebody to watch that guy. So it's like, you know, they don't trust none of them.
They don't trust none of them. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.